We'll go ahead and continue our study that we were in about the Bible versus transgender and homosexuality. Versus those two different things, we looked at many different scriptures from the Old Testament and the New Testament in talking about the origin story of humankind and God's, of course, design that created humanity to be male and female. So we talked first about the origin. We talked about the design. We talked about the creation. And now we're going to talk about the commandments. If you turn to the book of Romans, I want to make sure I have my verses right. All right. Excuse me. Okay. Continuing our study in Romans chapter 1. I want to make sure I don't say the wrong verses. I'm not preaching from my own thoughts, I'm preaching from the Bible, so it is very important. Don't want to make mistakes. But with the groundwork laid, so we talked about all those different things this morning. We talked about the Koine Greek and the Hebrew, of course, that distinctly say male and female, and that the word mankind is made up of two different genders. Well, those two different genders, of course, are what God designed or what God intended. Well, God also didn't even leave it at nature, but He also commanded that homosexuality not be a thing. He also literally said, homosexuals will not go to where? Will not go to heaven. So that's a pretty big statement. If God says that homosexuals will not go to heaven, a.k.a. even, as you can sometimes say, sodomites, as we're even going to talk about, those words are interchangeable in some ways in meaning. Well, if He says that literally, then you can't really get around that. In the New Testament, in the Old Testament, God calls it an abomination. So you can't really get around that. It's not something that you can say, well, I feel that it's okay, or, you know, God will understand because of science today. It doesn't work like that. If God literally says that it's a sin in saying that if you do this, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven, well, that's not going to, you know, there's no working around that. It's God's will. It's what God says. And God does what He wants, regardless of what men want or opinionate. So, let's read Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 27. Romans 1, 24 through 27. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, verse 27, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And so, men decided, and men are deciding today, to serve themselves, the creature, rather than the Creator. Well, men, is no doubt, even can call themselves the creature in that matter, because we are the designed, and God is the designer. We are the created, God is the Creator. And so, it's not, once again, it's not about our opinions. It's not about what we feel or what we emotion. For this reason, though, because we, you know, society today chooses that. They chose it back in that day and time, even in the writing of the book of Romans. They were choosing that most of the time. Most of the religious world chooses their passions over God. They choose their entertainment over God. That's no secret. Well, they're exchanging the truth of God for the lie. They're serving themselves rather than the Creator. And for this reason, verse 26, what does God do? He allows them to do it. He lets them, you know, go do what you want to do. He gives them up to those vile passions. That verse doesn't mean that God is telling them to do that. It doesn't mean that God is commanding them to go commit sin. Some people mistake that and misinterpret that and think that that's what it's saying. That's not what it's saying. It just says Pharaoh's heart was hardened. You know, God hardened Pharaoh's heart back in Exodus. That's not saying that God literally made Pharaoh do what he did to cause him to sin and die. God can't do that. God can't cause somebody to sin. That's against His own nature. And so what could be the meaning? We keep it in context of the entirety of the Bible. Well, it means that God allows them to continue in their sin because God gives everyone what? Free will. Everyone has choice. And so we can choose to be righteous. We can choose to be sinful. I was talking with Mary before this, you know, about some people in our lives, you know, who you want to be Christians. You just want to, and you just talk to them again and again and again, and you just can't seem to move them. Well, that's not our choice. That's their choice. You know, it's always going to be their choice because God gives that free will. It's the same thing, of course, even with homosexuality and transgenderism. As we talk about those things, society will choose that today. And it's something really hard to get out of because of maybe even the passion of it, the twisted and perverted passion of it, more like. But it's something harder to get out of. And maybe, you know, maybe even mental condition, perhaps, if we might want to call it that, as far as transgender goes, of thinking that you need to literally change the makeup of your body biologically in order to be happy. Well, I mean, there's a lot that goes into that psychologically. I mean, there's a lot. But seriously, still, it's their choice. So we might, you know, try again and again, you know, try to get them out of that, but it's their choice. But nonetheless, brethren, what this entire lesson is about is to be able to support us and to be able to encourage us and be able to help us in the fight that is going to be happening in our day and time. This society is getting worse and worse and worse. We can either come to terms with it and realize that, or we can ignore it and keep hiding in a bush. Brethren, we've got to deal with it. We just have to. We have to in schools. We have to with our children. I'm going to have to with mine. I'm 21. My wife, you know, we're going to have to deal with that whenever we school our children. We don't even have our children yet. And we're growing up in a society where it's just so vile you can hardly even put them through public schools. So, I mean, it's getting rough. We got to deal with it. We got to know what to say. We got to know where to say it in the Bible. Because, brethren, once again, we don't get what we believe off of our own thoughts, but we get it from the Bible. So why is it so important to argue from the Bible? Because, well, that's what we're based on. That's why we even don't or hate homosexuality and things like that, because it is evil, because it is sin. It is lawlessness, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Sin is lawlessness. Lawlessness is that which is not law according to God. Lawlessness is that which is contrary to the law of God. That is sin. And so that's, of course, what Satan even wants us to fall into, Revelation 12:12. You know, behold, the devil has come down to the earth having great wrath because he knows he has a short time, Revelation 12:12. And so that's his mission, to bring mankind down. But our mission, of course, should still be, respectfully, as we even talked about this morning, to try to bring mankind to salvation. Even after rejection, we have to still keep trying. And so, even with our families, that's the case, but we need to be ready for that talk at any time. But considering the commandments, let's get into some of these texts now. Back in Leviticus, if you will, Leviticus chapter 18, 18 and verse 22, the wording that God uses is very important as far as the actions that are being talked about. Because it is very emphatic wording, emphatic, meaning that it is powerful wording. Leviticus 18:22 says, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." And then it talks about, of course, you know, animal sexuality after that. And so then if you go to chapter 20 and verse 13, it says a similar thing. If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Let me ask you something, brethren. The Old Testament is made up of all of these examples that show that sin leads to what? Death. And if it says that they have committed an abomination for a man to lie with another man, if that's an abomination and punishable by death, which sin leads to death by the teaching, why is it okay today in this testament, in the New Testament? Why would it be okay? Sin wouldn't change across testaments. It wouldn't, except by law of worship. You know, we worship God in a different way than we did back then. Not saying that the law of Moses back then was sin. It wasn't. It was how it was commanded. I'm talking about homosexuality being an abomination. I'm talking about it being something that is against nature. You know, whatever testament you're in, it's always been against nature. It always will be. Transgenderism, changing your human makeup that God designed you as. that will always be committing an abomination, prompting even more evil after that, because you changed your sex. And so it's an abomination. It's lawlessness. Why? Because it is lawless against even nature itself. It's lawless against God's law. It's lawless against how God would want us to live as husband and wife. We can't live as husband and wife if we're all changing our genders and we're all homosexual, which is the same gender. You can't live as husband and wife that way. That's against the law of God. So obviously that's all contrary and very self-explanatory. Genesis chapter 19, if you will. Genesis 19, verses 4 through 5. If you turn there with me. I mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah this morning in the class. Sodom and Gomorrah, their one example that they showed before they were utterly, completely destroyed is a city that's one of the first examples in the Bible to be destroyed. One of the first examples of something or someone to be destroyed by God because of sin. And what was the sin? It was homosexuality. It was homosexuality. That was the sin. In the first book of the Bible, in the origins of mankind, and nearly the start of mankind, you have a city, one of the first cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, and it died, and it's destroyed, judged by God, punished with fire because of homosexuality. Genesis 19, 4 through 5, if you will. Let's read that together. It says there, "Now before they lay down, the men of the city," once again, "the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, 'Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally.'" Another word, meaning sexually. Those men wanted to know, those visiting men into the city, they wanted to know them sexually. The first sin, of course, as you continue down to verse 12, when you read about it being destroyed, the city, Sodom and Gomorrah, it's about homosexuality. It's about doing that which is against nature itself. Transgenderism would prompt homosexuality. You understand how all these things are connected. They're all lawless. They're all something that is abomination against God. Something that is punishable by fire. Turn to Jude chapter 1. Jude only has one chapter. Turn to Jude verse 7. Jude verse 7. I want you to notice the language that is said here in the latter part of this verse. Jude chapter 1 and verse 7. Says there, As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal hellfire. Did you understand what it just said there? It just said, what two words defining homosexuality? Okay, so we can talk about heterosexuality. We can talk about homosexuality. Heterosexuality is what God would is what God designed. It's man and woman. Homosexuality is what God did not design. It's totally contrary to what God wants for man and woman, for humankind. Well, what did God just say? Having given themselves over to sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is something that is sin. It is something that is immoral, something that is against God's morals and against God's law. If homosexuality is sexual immorality, how can it ever be right with God to do that, to practice that? Does that make sense? How does that ever be able to be, you know, denominations will try to justify it today. How can you justify that? How? If in Sodom and Gomorrah it was deemed and confirmed in the New Testament by Jude that homosexuality was sexual immorality, sin, how can it be okay? How can it be part of righteousness? Because you either choose righteous or you choose evil. There's no in-between once again. So that's the point. It's pretty simple. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. We can go all across the Bible once again. Look at so many accounts and how nothing ever justifies homosexuality, the changing of one's sex, you know, scientifically. Nothing ever justifies that, but nature and God's Word, all of it goes against it. All of it goes against it. Even in general reasoning, it goes against it. And specific reasoning, it goes against it. So, it calls it homosexuality, that sexual immorality. So, it is a sin. And it is the same thing as being punished by eternal fire. So we think about homosexuality in the last part of that verse. It says, gone after strange flesh. Well, strange flesh meaning homosexuality, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal hellfire or eternal fire. And so God will reap vengeance on those who, of course, commit this sin of sexual immorality. And once again, there are multiple different types of sexual immorality. There's bestiality, necrophilia. There's all these different things. I won't go into all of them because of the younger people in here. But there's a whole lot of things that we can go over, brethren, and you know them. Homosexuality is in that category of sexual immorality. It's in there. And it's right in there with sodomy. And homosexuality and sodomy are interchangeable. Do you know why? Where do you think the word sodomy came from? Sodom and Gomorrah. So it's the same thing. It's really talking a lot about homosexuality, but there's other meanings, of course, between the two words, but that you might be able to differentiate. But still, it has a general meaning of that as well. And so, let's also go to 1 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. I'll just say a few more things, and then we'll be finished for this afternoon. As far as the lesson goes, that is. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. Of course, we have our list here in one of the epistles, talking about these things that will not inherit the kingdom of God. We know this list very well, or we should. 6, 9 through 10 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, will inherit the kingdom of God. I want you to notice, though, verse 11. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Brethren, understand that the reason that we even combat this at all and spend time talking about this and spend time trying to being able to debate that with the world and with even denominations, why do we even spend time going through these scriptures and talking about this lesson? Because just as the prophets did, just as the apostles did, what were they trying to do? Were they trying to judge people and kill people? Or were they trying to save people? They were trying to save people. And brethren, that's our commission as well as Christians. We have to take this word and we have to give it to people. We have to give it to everybody that we can. So, whether they want to hear it or not. But, once again, that homosexual word is right next to that sodomy word. This proves, can somebody who is in such a depth of sin, and some people like to rate sin, maybe by depth, not by level of evil, but you know, all sin is punishable by death and hellfire. But some people like to rate it by, you know, by maybe like a levels type system. This shows that just because you're even maybe in the worst amount of sin, you know, like Paul was, Paul had a really, really bad life persecuting Christians beforehand, killing Christians, imprisoning them. But he got out of that. And so if you're a homosexual, if you're a sodomite, however you want to call it, if you're one of these, can you still get out of that life? Yeah, you can. If you are still one of those, you can still leave that lifestyle and become a Christian and maybe take on something that's natural. Have an actual wife. Because, brethren, once again, a homosexual marriage, is it recognized in the eyes of God? That's a question we need to answer, and no. No, it is not. A homosexual marriage is not recognized in the eyes of God. I can't find a verse that would say that or imply that in any way. It's not recognized. That's not your first husband or wife if it's a homosexual marriage. It's just not. So go on. You can get out of that lifestyle. You can take on what's natural. You can do what's natural as God intended humankind to do, intended mankind to do. So yes, people can leave that lifestyle. And that's the whole point, brethren, of this lesson. To be able to take these words, to be able to debate people who go over these topics in the society we live in today. Once again, you go over on social media and you just scroll and scroll and scroll and people are fighting about that all the time. You know, one denomination against another, one world religion against another, an atheist against some more. It's just, you scroll, it's just people fighting all over the place about this stuff. Transgenderism, homosexual, we got to know what to say. We got to know what to debate. We have to be strong in this matter because it is a serious matter, like matters like even abortion. You know, we like to talk about abortion. It's a serious matter. It really is. Well, there's other matters homosexuality, transgenderism that are just as serious, that are affecting our children, that are affecting us, that are affecting everybody, this entire culture, society. American culture is polluted and perverted by these things. We have got to be ready to combat them, to save people, not to destroy people right off the bat, you know, to be angry and say, you're going to hell, but to save them, just as Jesus was doing, not having partiality. So, brethren, all these things I say, of course, in trying to encourage and strengthen us in being able to combat these different issues. But that word homosexuality, just as a side note here, if you want to put a, you know, kind of a in the white part of your Bibles, the word here in the Koine Greek for homosexuality is arson, arsenokortai. I will spell it out: arsenokortai. Arsenokortai. Kind of a hard word there. Homosexuality, though, that's the actual Koine Greek word for it, the original language that was written down. And according to Strong's Dictionary for the Koine Greek, this means a male or female engaging in same-gender sexual activity, and is also meant to be understood by words like sodomy or sodomite, having relation back to the Genesis 19 account where the men were homosexuals as well and were punished with destruction by God for it. So, every single thing that we've been talking about, yes, that is exactly what we're referring to. And the homosexual word in the original Greek is exactly what we've been talking about. Same-sex stuff. It's not right with God. It won't inherit the kingdom of God. But brethren, once again, you can change somebody's life no matter how deep in sin they are if you bring the Word of God to them. Remember that the Word of God does the good. Not us alone. This does the damage against evil. Not us alone. The power is where? It's in the Word. And so let's take this to them the next time that we go to a conversation about theology, about biblical topics, or about anything about regarding these things that we've talked about today. Use the Bible. Don't try to think about, you know, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? Flip through the Scriptures. Use the Bible, and you'd be surprised what it can do in teaching even by itself. You'd be surprised. The Bible is its own best teacher. Amen? It is. The Bible is its own best teacher. And we've got to realize that, brethren. Whether it's the strongest matter that we're dealing with in the world, whether it's abortion, the Bible is its own best teacher. So I say all that to challenge you, of course, today in debates and whoever you may be discussing these things with, or if you may do it in the future. It's important that we shore ourselves up on these things. These are serious topics that are going to affect our lifestyles and our children, and possibly, you know, may even end up, you know, persecuting the church in the future. It's something that could happen. You know, we've got a long road ahead of us. We've got a corrupt country on our hands in many different ways. Religious corruption is the thing that I'm concerned about. Religious corruption. And you know, the same thing was going on in Amos that we talked about this morning. Same thing. And what happened to them? They got destroyed because God said enough's enough. For three transgressions and for four, I will not relent. I will not turn away the punishment. You think the United States, same type of deal is coming soon? It could be. It could be. I don't wish that upon it. I pray that this country would live for a long time and that we might be able to worship in peace. But usually a country is done away with whenever it stops, you know, enforcing as they should to be able to allow the gospel to continue its outreach. Usually that's whenever it starts stopping, and whenever the religious corruption and the, you know, moral decay just keeps on going up and up and up and up. So, brother, once again, as we approach this really, really ungodly society, and as we're in it already, and it's getting worse, let's just try to be the shining lights that we can. Get as many people to heaven as we can. No matter how deep they are in sin, remember people like Paul, who said he was the chief of sinners, and understand that you can still take this Bible out to them and teach them a thing or two. With this Bible, not with your ideas, not with opinions, but with that Bible. If you have any needs this morning, or this afternoon rather, if you have needs for yourself or for a family member, if you've committed sin at all, and you want to get that right with God this afternoon, I encourage you to do so. I challenge you to do so. And if you're not a Christian, once again, there's only one way to become one. You have to believe Jesus is the Christ and confess your sin. Of course, confess that He is the Christ before men. Be willing to repent of your sins and be baptized into the water for remission of your sins. and for being added to the kingdom of God. And then you must remain faithful until death, and you will receive that home in heaven someday, as John chapter 14 says, talking about the mansions in heaven. If you have any need at this time, come to the front as we stand and praise God together.